couple of things straight. We have written no books. And two, I asked him if I could come. So we'll get both of those straight real quick. But I'm thankful to been associated with the Sherrills for a number of years through the Pan American Lectures. And my friends right there, how are y'all doing? I'm glad she's with you, though. I'm glad Mary's with you. You know, you do, it helps out a whole lot, okay? Y'all all know that, so I don't have to tell you anything for sure. I am excited to be here this evening for just a few minutes to share a couple of things with you. Mainly what is happening in Nicaragua. I see what's on the screen right now. And to be honest with you, I'm overwhelmed and humbled. It was in Easter weekend of 1997. I met a young man from Nicaragua. And I made a comment like this. I said, why don't we open a medical clinic for the outreach of the church? A young preacher from there, from Nicaragua, was in Arkansas looking for some support and found out his wife was a medical doctor. That clinic opened in October of 1997, and so just a few months ago, we celebrated the completion of 20 years. That's just an overwhelming number to me. But I know it's only because of the blessings of God's support of people all across this country like you that's made it happen. And so just a few minutes as we get started, I want to tell you a story about what is happening in Nicaragua. First of all, I want to introduce you to Nicaragua and really those who are doing the work. And over the next 15 minutes or so, as I talk to you about Nicaragua, I'm going to talk to you about a lot of things happening, medical, children, church, so many different things. I'm also going to talk about a Christian school in Catacamas, Honduras. And what I'm going to be talking to you about is what these people are doing. I'm blessed to be able to travel and tell you their stories. As I tell you the story of Alberto and Harvey, our Nicaraguan directors, or Dr. Pena, or Ileana, our Kingdom Kids director, or Ricardo, our sustainable living, because everything we do has a director. Or in Honduras, Tonita and Karina, our directors of the Good Samaritan School in Catacamas, Honduras. And that's that staff there. We are blessed to work with and be supportive of in what we do and what the mission does in Nicaragua to over 102 families. This is not talking about just giving somebody. We're talking about this is their job. This is their work. This is what they go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning to do every day. Whether it's in a medical clinic or whether it's building a building, whatever it may be. The boots on the ground work in Nicaragua are these people I just showed you. These in Nicaragua and those in Honduras. They're the ones that do this whole broad spectrum. Now, I know you can't see that real well, but there's on a table in the back a copy of that if you'd like to. That gets you the complete components of everything we do. I know I'm thankful. I think about where John's disciples came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 11. And they asked John, are you really who you say you are? And Jesus said, will you go back and tell John, the blind see? Well, we don't give blind a sight, but we put glasses on people. The deaf hear. That passage says also cured of leprosy. Well, I don't know if we've ever had any leprosy case, but the last 3 weeks we've had three very severe infections to the bone that we're able to get them to a hospital and lay on. And the good news is preached to the poor. And so when I tell the story of Nicaragua, I'm telling you what God is doing. And to me, it's the affirmation of who we are and what we're supposed to be about. Doing as much as we can. Originally, when we came into Nicaragua, our goal was this. to do as much as we can for as many people as we can, as often as we can, bringing no harm to no one so that all men can come to know our Lord. If some of you may happen to know from back east, a man named Harvey Starling, he allowed me to use that phraseology, okay? Somebody might have said, that's not original to him. No, it wasn't. I got it from somebody else. But we shortened that just a couple of years ago when we say what we're striving to do in Nicaragua and now in Honduras is that we're trying to share Jesus as we serve people. We do not believe it's an either-or proposition. We believe that even when Jesus validated himself in Matthew chapter 11 or Luke chapter 7 there, he validated because of what he was doing. And salvation was being preached at the same time. And as you look at the different things that you can see that we're doing, notice the big white in the center there, that's church. The center of everything that we do. In fact, some people look at our logo. It's got Mission Padre de Cristo at the top and La Iglesia de Cristo in the bottom. And they say, well, shouldn't the church be on the top and the mission be on the bottom? I says, no, that's designed that way specifically because the church is the foundation of who we are and what we're about. And so it's on the bottom for the purpose because it is our anchor. Across the board. In our work in Nicaragua, we basically do three things. One, church. If we go and serve people and not share Jesus, we haven't done our task. Our goal is always in everything we do and everything we're about to keeping the main thing the main thing. Presently, we work with 31 congregations. We started with one congregation and an attendance of 12 to 13 people in October of 1997. We're working directly with 31 congregations that just today there has been over 1,000 adults and children in worship across northern Nicaragua. But we work with congregations directly. We help congregations have preachers. We do not support preachers directly, but we support congregations so that they can have preachers. We have a Bible training program. We have 6 locations for it. We call it Institute for Preparation of Workers, that this year we'll have just about 290 students in 6 different locations over the Hinotega department. We also work with the Bible League, which used to be the World Bible Translation Center in Fort Worth, where we've personalized their translation of the Bible with contact information for Nicaragua. We've also worked with World Bible School in putting contact information in their first lesson. We don't use World Bible School as World Bible School is used around the world because in Nicaragua we don't have a mail system. So correspondence courses, even though online stuff is getting to be big, correspondence courses is a non-existent thing in our country. You got to realize Nicaragua is the only country in the world that doesn't have street names. There is not a legal street name in Nicaragua. The location of the mission is 1.5 blocks east of the Petronic Rotunda, Hinotega, Nicaragua. You put that address on an envelope and I'll get the mail. That's about like in the Old West when you often say go out to the oak tree, turn right, go up to the lake and turn left. You know, that's kind of the directions we have in Nicaragua. But that's why World Bible School doesn't work. So we use World Bible School as a teaching tool where our preachers use it and also our groups that come. They come and they utilize it and they're able to hand to people that first lesson. But it's also very important we have contact information for people to come to. If they have information, that's the reason we wanted to print the Bibles with the direct information on contact information, because we didn't want to just hand out Bibles. We wanted to give people an opportunity to be able to find somebody that could help them in their study if they really became serious. Some people said, well, it's okay to just give out Bibles. Well, you remember Philip came to the eunuch and he was reading the scriptures and Philip said what? Answer my question. Do I understand? Do you understand? And what did the eunuch say? How could I without a preacher? What did the teacher? And so that is why we feel so strongly about the personalization of the Scripture. The Bibles we're able to print, we can print with a personalization for $3 a Bible. But that is, this church is the center of who we are. These are some teaching pictures of one in a medical campaign. One is our Bible Institute data thing. In the left-hand corner up at the very top is a preacher from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, that was there on a trip last year. What we started was with medical. We opened a medical clinic on October 27, 1997, and today we are the largest provider of medical care outside the government. This year, in 2017, we touched just shy of 40,000 people. It was like just over 39,000 people. We do that with a full-time clinic, which has a full-time dentist. We have eye clinic as well. But we also augment that with many groups that come. We bring a number of groups to Nicaragua a year, but especially for medical. We have a working agreement with a medical school at Texas Tech University where we bring six groups a year from the medical school at Texas Tech. In fact, I go home in 10 days and I'll be greeted by a group from the nursing school at Texas Tech. We also are into the engineering school at Texas Tech as well. But we also work with the Harding University Pharmacy School. We work with a school in Nashville called Trevecca College, and also the University of Mississippi Medical School and Lincoln Memorial, another school just north of Knoxville, Tennessee, who are coming this year to help us do medical. And we're really excited about medical in that in June we will bring a North American couple to come with us, working with us. He's a farmer. He's going to help us with our ags, but she is a nurse practitioner, and she's going to do a lot of great work in connecting people. I ask you to pray for Mindy and Travis Stewart as they make their transition to Nicaragua in the middle of this year. But medically, we work very closely with the health center, with the Ministry of Health. We try to touch in ways that not people are not being touched. When somebody comes to the clinic, they not only see the doctor, they also receive their medicine. About some pay a little fraction of a fee. It's now 40 cordobas, which equals out to $1.25 to see the doctor and get their medicine. So that's the sin of it. The lady in the bottom right up here, that's Leo. She worked with us for 14 years. She just retired December 31st. We hate to see Leo go. Also with this, on this side right here, this picture right there, that's a part of our Casa Materna project. It's a project we work with. It's a place where ladies come to be close to medical care to have their babies. It is not a birthing center. It's just a place where the ladies can come to be close to medical care. And that has become one of our most impetuous thing we've done. Rebecca Molina is our director of that particular project. And the third circle that we would have would be children. We presently work with 31 schools in conjunction with the Ministry of Education in a joint venture. School hasn't started back for 2018 yet. But the number last year was 2,200 children in those 31 schools. Those are joint venture. We don't have full responsibility of those schools. We help 27 of those teachers with their salaries. But we're also able to teach Bible 15 minutes a week. We're also, our groups that come are able to go and do what we call Bible adventures and tell a story biblically. Within the scope. 4 years ago, we began a project called Kingdom Kids. For kids, for kingdom, for eternity. I'm going to talk more about that in just a moment. We also, that picture at the top up there is our children's outreach ministry. One meets on Saturday afternoon in community of Hinotega. The other meets on Sunday afternoon, or vice versa. Saturday afternoon in Apana, Sunday afternoon in Hinotega. About 130 children. It's our answer to a bus ministry in some ways. We just don't have a bus. But within the scope of it, with the schools, with our Kingdom Kids, which includes the Honduras school, we touch, when school is in, we touch over 3,000 children a week in some way. God has just been overly incredible with us. We sponsor a Little League baseball team. That picture's up on the screen. This is 10 and 11-year-olds talking about a trip of the lifetime. My son works at Harding University and with some other folks at Harding. Well, 2 years ago, we brought a 10 and 11-year-old baseball team from Searcy to Nicaragua. This past summer, we took our 10 and 11-year-old baseball team on a trip to the U.S. Those kids got to go meet the governor of Arkansas in his office. They got to be the guest of the owner of the Kansas City Royals at a baseball game. They had an experience, I promise you. Also, we have another project I'll show you in just a second called Smiles. It's our annual Christmas box project. This year we sent just a little over 13,000 Christmas gifts. Basically, the shoebox projects you've seen in other places is done, but we've now entered our 14th year doing it. And as I said, this year we sent just over 13,000. But medical, children, and church. It's almost like those are the legs of the table that this mission stands on. But there's a tabletop there that has a lot of other things that added to it. One of those is, I've just shared with you, our smile boxes. You know, talking about bringing a smile to what, 20, we called it 20-20-20. $20, 20 minutes can change a life for 20 years. His name is Jose Garcia. He's a preacher from one of the congregations in Managua. And he was helping us with a medical campaign one time. And Donna loves to ask the question, when did you come and how did you come to know the Lord? And he told a story of how when he was a little child in the local area, they gave out boxes. And you had to go all the month of December. So he had always knew he'd go there December 1st and he'd stay to January 1st. And then he'd leave. But then he started hanging around. And now 20 years later, he's a preacher and one of the more effective ones in Managua. One of the things I specifically wanted to share and talk to you about this evening is our Kingdom Kids. Four kids, four kingdom, for eternity. 4 years ago, we began a project, and it's now called Kingdom Kids. It's right now we have three centers in Nicaragua, child development centers, in our local congregation. There, in Hinotega, one in Apanas, and one in Jali. We'll be opening up another center in February. They were screening children this past week in the community of Pantasma. And as soon as the building is finished in the south part of Hinotega, we will have a second location in Hinotega as well. Right now we have 480-something children in Nicaragua. We're blessed, incredibly blessed, that we are 99.9% sponsored in Nicaragua. That's another one of those humbling, incredible things that I respond to of what God has done. But last year, in 2016, in this fall of 2016, we were approached by a congregation in Florida about a school that I was familiar with, the Great Good Samaritan School in Caticamas, Honduras. It was a school that has about 400 and right at 400 children, fixing to add preschool. We'll have it by the end of February, about 460 children there. It's a primary school. It's a 30-year-old school that's been in existence there in eastern Honduras. But on December of 2016, it was going to have to close its doors because no one in the U.S. was promoting it. And the inertia of what they had caused them to, when the teachers left in November of 2016, they felt the school was closing. Actually, Harvey, who is one of my Nicaraguan directors and also is my number one translator, We traveled to Honduras for the sole purpose of telling the people that the school was going to close. We had done all our due diligence on it, and there was just no way that we could take the school under our auspices. I spent 2 days there meeting with Tonita and Karina and the Honduran board for them, and seeing what they had there, and I said, this, we've got to see if we can't keep it going. I called my wife, Donna, who you'll meet here, some of you tonight, and she said, well, how did they take the closing? I said, I took a deep breath, and she said, I knew I should have made that trip with you. And so we opened up for 2017, and God has blessed us to be able to stay open. We just had our Honduran staff in Nicaragua 3 weeks ago, giving a new vision for what we were about and what we're trying to do with Kingdom Kids, both in Nicaragua and Honduras. The challenge we have is that we stayed open in 2017, and we're opened in 2018. But we're not 99% sponsored in Honduras. We're only about 40%. And that's why I'm here tonight to ask you to consider sponsoring a child in Honduras. Like Eric. The only way we have to do what we do is people like you helping us do what we do. And we have only one way in our brotherhood for it to happen, and that's like people like me come and ask people like you to help us do what we do. And that's what I'm here for tonight. We need your help. $39 a month sponsors a child. We take care of everything within the child, his health, medical, glasses, dental. I'll be taking in April a dentist from South Carolina to the school. We'll also have more children to sponsor in Nicaragua, but they will not be available until February. Right now, our need is the children in Honduras. And I would ask you to give prayerful consideration to that. We need you, and we need your help. And these children need your help. Our goal with Kingdom Kids is very, very straightforward. To serve the underserved, to provide a quality education with Christ at the center, and to be a benefit to the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Three very simple purposes to exist. And we ask your help in that. Another one of the projects that we do that we are incredibly excited about, well, that here again. Ask Patsy, what is it about? Is it pretty neat sponsoring a child? Just ask Patsy. They have a child in Nicaragua, and her mama has one too as well. This lady on the right here hugging is Dot King. Dot is 90 years old. Her and her daughter sponsored a child 2 years ago. They were there last summer, and Dot said, I want my own child. That's hers. I spoke about the Stewarts, the bottom picture of the two pictures on the other side. That is Mindy and Travis is coming to work with us. Another project that has directions and lots of exciting things happening is our sustainable living project, where we're putting water filters in homes, we're digging wells, we're putting floors, we're doing community health driven, especially community spiritual help as well. Each year, we bring about 35 groups a year to Nicaragua. We'd love for to have a group from Southgate come to Nicaragua and serve with us. Touching a life, helping us in all aspects, whether it's in construction, medical, education, whatever the case may be. On our website, missionpadrecristo.com, on the front page, you can see there's a video on there that can tell you exactly what a group looks like coming to Nicaragua. But again, all of this is done for one reason, and the good news is preached across the board. Within all of that, I say thank you. And I thank you for letting me tell you the story of what God has done over the last 20 years in Nicaragua. We don't know where we're headed. I couldn't tell you all what's going on tomorrow. We just want to be God's eyes, God's ears, God's hands, and God's feet as we serve. But that's our story. That's a story that I'm excited to tell you about. I'm excited to share with you. But I want to ask you a question. I want to come down here if you don't mind. Is that okay? Is that permissible around here? Okay. How many remember the old song, "Here I Raise My Ebenezer"? How many remember that song? Okay, let me see those hands again. I want to look it. All right, now, you don't count. How many of you know what an Ebenezer is? Well, I guess Patsy counts. Okay, I got three. So that means you've sung a song you didn't really know what the meaning of it was, huh? Right? Well, let me tell you, share with you real quickly what it was and why I believe it's significant today. If you'll make a note and go read the whole story, because I'm going to have to summarize here, go to 1 Samuel chapter 6 and chapter 7. And basically it was interchanged where the Philistines were trying to get on good side with the Israelites, and they was going to give the ark back. The only problem, it didn't make it all the way back. But the Philistines were pretty happy about that, because that still had the Israelites not under their thumb, if you may. And if you remember about that, the Philistines were the most powerful army in the world. And the Israelites did not match up to them. But the Philistines were very happy that the Israelites where they were, the ark was not in their hands anymore. So they felt good about that. But they weren't back in Israelites' hands either. Well, they were in a way. It just weren't at the right place, let's put it that way. And for 20 years, it stayed in the wrong place. And then one day, the Israelites came to Samuel and says, "We want it back." Well, now you realize the Philistines were pretty happy that Israelites were where they were for 20 years. One lesson. As long as you are not committed to the Lord, Satan's going to leave you alone. Okay? He don't mind you being good. He just minds when you decide to get serious about your relationship with God. And I promise you, anytime you decide to get serious about your relationship with God, Satan's going to challenge you on it. You can count on it. And this is what happened here. The Philistines were very calm with it. And then all of a sudden, they heard that there was something happening in Israel. And basically what it was, Samuel says, "Okay, if you want it back, this is what you got to do. Clean your act up." That's summary. That's a Paul Sherrill summary, okay? But that's pretty close, right? Perfect. By Paul said it was perfect. But it says, get rid of everything. Get rid of your Asher poles. Get rid of it. If you want to come back to the Lord, get serious about it. Okay? And they started doing that. And then the Philistines get the word of it. And they come knocking on the door saying, "Wait a minute, you guys settle down here." Well, guess what? The Hebrew children got very fearful, and they come to Samuel and say, "Samuel, what in the world are we going to do?" And Samuel says, "Let's pray." That's always the best thing, isn't it? Whenever in doubt, pray. They're just a pretty simple solution. And Samuel says, "The Lord will take care of it." And so, Scripture doesn't really give a definitive other than the Lord sent in the night something. But whatever it was strong enough to make the most powerful army in the world fearful. Fearful to the stage stage and state that they ran. And the Israelites in the morning realized they were running and was able to pursue them and basically defeat them in a far distance, for a far, great distance, Scripture says. And in verse 11, 14 there, they come back to Samuel. And that's where the Ebenezer comes into play. Samuel had taken a rock. And he said to them, "This rock is your Ebenezer," which means the Lord helped us to this point. The Ebenezer became their story. But you think about it. Didn't God do that throughout Scripture? We come every Sunday morning, and there's a lot of reasons for this table. But one of the reasons is for us to be able to tell a story. You remember when the Hebrew children came through the Jordan, and Joshua said what? "Leaders, bring a stone, bring it out, and make an altar. And when your children ask what this is, you tell them that's when the Lord parted the sea." Second Corinthians chapter 1. Paul says the way we help people in the time of trouble is when we tell them our story. You tell how God helped you. I believe the greatest need we have today in evangelism and the Lord, Church of my Lord Jesus Christ, is we've got to have more storytellers. I'm not talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's part of the story. A critical, foundational part of the story. But the story we need is your story that you tell to those you come in contact. And I want to encourage you. There's a few rocks in West Texas, aren't there? I want to encourage you this week to find a rock. And pray over that rock as God puts in your heart your story. Because every one of you have one. You would not be sitting here in this auditorium tonight if you did not have a story to tell of where God has provided for you to this point. What's going to happen tomorrow? None of us know. But we do know today. You know, and maybe that's a little bit about where Paul says, work out your own salvation. Well, we know it's not coming up with a new plan to come to Jesus or come to God. That's grace. But it may be, how does God's salvation fit to me in my life, my day, today? Because there are people you know today that need to hear your story of where God has provided for you to this point. That's your Ebenezer. Some of you tonight in this room, in this auditorium, need to tell your story. And I'm sure there's some in you here that need to hear your story. I don't know your life. I don't know where you are today. But I know somebody needs you today. Or you need somebody. There's no third option. Somebody needs you, or you need somebody. You need to hear of the Ebenezer in their lives today. We sing a song, "It Was Announced." If there's a way the family can serve you this evening, we'd like you to come. Remember, if you'd like to sponsor a child, my wife is in the back. Patsy's going to be back there with her as well. And thank you for letting me tell you my story tonight.